Just turn in your Bibles, please. It will be on the screen. Hebrews chapter 6. And we're reading verses 9 to 20. Hebrews 6, verses 9 to 20. We are just continuing to go through the book of the letter to Hebrews. Of course, we don't call Jews Hebrews so much nowadays. They are Jews. But this was a letter written to the Hebrews. And we're just seeing what God is saying to us individually and as a fellowship from his word. And we're beginning today's reading at verse 9 of chapter 6. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. But God is not unjust to forget your work and labour of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. It's the word of the Lord, and we're very thankful for it. Now, if you want to earn brownie points, can anyone suggest or guess what the theme is this morning? What is the subject this morning? I believe God has laid on my heart a message for us. Hope. Hope. Biblical hope. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hope. Is that what you said? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Glory to his name. Biblical hope. The Greek word translated hope is in fact epizo. E-P-I-Z-O. And in this connection, in this passage, it is indeed translated hope. But there are other times in the New Testament where the same word is translated faith. It can be translated faith, but in this connection it is hope. And of course hope is one of the evidences that we are saved. Hope, faith, love. And there was a theme of the Apostle Paul's epistles. Hope. Trust. We're talking about biblical hope. The writer here is not talking about a vague hope, not something that is dependent upon feelings, circumstances. It's talking about a sure, firm, steadfast hope, a biblical hope, a trust that God is who he says he is and that he's one who keeps his word. The story is told of a monastery in Portugal. Now, this monastery was perched about 3,000 feet up on the cliffs. And the only way you could get to this monastery was in a terrifying ride, if you like, in a basket. Okay, that's the only way. It's perched 3,000 foot, sort of in between cliffs. And the only way you'd get to it was a ride And apparently it was a terrifying ride in a basket. And this basket was pulled by some strong men. They held onto the rope, and you can picture the men perspiring, etc. Because especially when the basket was loaded with people who wanted to get to the monastery, who wanted to view the monastery. On this particular day, there was an American tourist who was already nervous because the basket did sway, and he saw, looking down, these strong men, and then he became increasingly agitated, extremely nervous, halfway up the cliff, because he noticed that the rope was old and frayed. So in order, he hoped, to relieve him of his nervousness, of his anxiety, of his fear, he asked one of the guys who was from the monastery, who was in the basket, he said, "How often do you change the rope?" And this monk, who was in charge of the exercise, replied, "Whenever it breaks." Hope is a misunderstood concept. As I've said, we can mix up our fond hopes, we can think of our good thoughts and our vague ideas. I hope the sun is going to shine tomorrow. I hope I get that degree, but I'm not overconfident that I will. We can mix this up with the biblical hope, which is certain. It is certain. And we just read in this passage about a man who did have hope, who did have great faith, Abraham. And at our Bible study, which has been on the notices, I believe, on Wednesday evening, which will be here at 7:45, we will be looking at this passage, particularly Abraham, particularly what we read in Hebrews chapter 10. And, you know, the covenant made and his faith. How does that, what is God saying to you and to me from that? So I hope, if you can, you'll be here Wednesday evening. But these verses that we've read, I think they encourage our own faith, and I believe they should stimulate hope within us. We've read about oaths here, haven't we? We've read about oaths, okay? We've read about oaths. Now, of course, God did not have to swear by an oath. He didn't have to, but I believe he has done, if you like, to accommodate our own weakness. He's made allowances for our own frailty. He knows how difficult it is, the weakness that we have sometimes, and faith can be so weak, our hope can sometimes become so mixed up with what is happening in our life, happening in our family, happening at work, happening in church, and so on, or happening in the world. And we know that people can go into a witness box and take up this precious book and swear on the Bible and then tell a pack of lies. We know that, and that's a sad thing to do. So God didn't have to, as it were, swear by an oath. But I believe, in his grace and his mercy, he's seeking to reassure us, and he has accommodated our own frailty. And verse 17 of our passage says, "Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability, the unchangeableness, the firmness, the certainty of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath." Hallelujah. Our Lord, the Sovereign One, was determined to make it abundantly clear to us that he keeps his word. Remember, the original letter would have been written to people who were had come out, most of them, from religion, from Judaism, that embraced Jesus Christ, the Messiah, as their Saviour. Okay, and now, having renounced the former, they were increasingly becoming ostracized. Of course, The ecclesia, you and I, mean that we are separated. We have been separated. That's what holiness means. We have been separated from the world. And these people had been separated from their former, including some of their friends, their acquaintances, the religious leaders. And some were now doubting whether they had done right in believing on Messiah, in sacrificing so much for the sake of Jesus. Had they made a mistake? Was it real? Was it a figment of their imagination? Christianity was illegal. Judaism was still legal. And so if they went back to the synagogue, that would be safe haven. But for them, they were more or less on their own. So much of this letter that is sent to these Hebrews, to these what we would call today messianic believers, is to encourage them. Keep going. God is good. God is faithful. Don't apostatize. Don't fall away. Take his word. He is with you. Christ now indwells you. He is with you. Don't go back. Don't go back. There's so much reassurance to keep pressing on, looking unto Jesus. He is the author. He is the finisher of your faith. Your circumstances might at times be scary. You might have battles to face. But keep looking to Jesus. He is your strength. He is your hope. He is your hope. What he has promised, he will fulfill. Titus chapter 1 talks about he is a God. He cannot lie. In Numbers it says, God is not like man. He cannot lie. He cannot change his mind. He cannot be swayed. He's certain. He's firm. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. So God has given us, if you like, a double assurance. He cannot lie. His promises are yea. They are amen. As someone has said, there's more possibility of God's promises failing than of God falling out of heaven. Therefore, our hope, your hope, is firmly placed on the objective promises of God. The objective promises of God. And we, by faith, are in Christ Jesus. The Son, if you like, who has fulfilled Abraham's covenant. Jesus is the foundation. He is the substance of our hope. Jesus Christ is the foundation, is the substance of our hope. Dear Lord, help me to hear what you are saying, what you're speaking to me today. Don't let it go in one ear and out of the other, Lord. May it please build in me something, Lord, that I can take on into this week, even when the challenges come, even when the devil gets on my back. Even when I've got questions that I don't know the answer, Lord, strengthen me with your word that I will have that hope and that faith to know that you do all things well and you're going to see me through, because this passage, Lord, has told me that you've already gone ahead. You're my forerunner. You've entered into heaven from whence you are preparing a place for me. Help me to hear your word, Lord. I don't want to hear it for the person sitting next to me or the behind me. Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me. I love this. You know, friends, the double security of an oath and a promise which God has offered Abraham, that encourages me. I hope it encourages you. We've been given a hope that is set before us, and that we will go on right through the curtain of the holy place, the heaven of God, where he himself resides. Look at Hebrews 10 and verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Friends, when we've got this hope, verse 24 also comes reality. We will consider how we can stir up love and good works in each other. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the habit of some. Not making excuses, but we will be in the place where Christ wants us to be and where the fellowship is so precious. We will not make easy excuses. We will be there and see how we can stir one another up to love and good works and bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So we can do this. Because, friends, we're united in Jesus. Hallelujah! And he has entered ahead of us as a forerunner. It's like if you big vessels at sea, when they're coming into harbour, when they're coming into port, often the smaller little tugboats and vessels go ahead to make sure there's a safe passage for the big vessel. Jesus not only has experienced all what we go through, tempted as we are, yet without sin, learned obedience. He knows what it's like, what we go through, and even more so, especially as he had those agonies of suffering and where his Father forsook him. He knows what we are going through even today, but he's also gone ahead of us and is now our great high priest. Hallelujah. Our hope is on what Christ has done. Friends, we may be buffeted, we may be battered by the waves, but we're held in place by an unseen anchor that clings, if as it were, to the bottom of the sea. This anchor is not in sand, hallelujah, but it's in the presence of the Almighty, wonderful Lord. This anchor is in the presence of God himself. Hope, biblical hope, can see heaven through the dark, stormy clouds. Hallelujah. And we have that hope where the Holy One now dwells. We may be buffeted, but we have a secure hope. It's fixed on Jesus. Verse 19, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. I feel a hymn coming on. Hallelujah. Friends, all of God's true people, his faithful people, can have this sure hope that God will indeed deliver on his promises, especially eternal salvation. Hallelujah. Past performance does not guarantee future results. In business, you may have had a very prosperous 2011, but then 2012 may be totally different. So even though you've had a good year, this year may not be the same. England cricketers may have had a fantastic 2011. They may have built up and been consistent in their victories, but that is still no guarantee that 2012 they'll deliver the goods, as was found out yesterday. But with God, it is so different. Hallelujah. With God, past performance does guarantee future results. Hallelujah. This is our hope, friends. People, and we probably have said, oh, I find it hard to trust God. I find it hard to really believe God and that he will undertake for me and get me at last to my safe haven. But friends, these are the same people, and perhaps we are included, who we put faith, trust in Michael Fish's weather forecast. When we go to the Crawley Hospital and we need the sixth floor, we press number six, the elevator will take us up to sixth floor. We get on the train at Three Bridges Station, we're going to King's College, we don't even give it a thought that the driver in the front is going to obey all the signals and the lights. We just trust that he's going to get us there. And yet the weather forecast does go wrong. The elevator can break down, and I've got one or two who've been stuck in lifts. We hear, sadly, of train crashes, don't we? Shouldn't we trust our God? Shouldn't our hope be in God, who cannot make a mistake? This is biblical hope. He cannot lie. We are let down, we can let others down. We live in a fallen world, in a fallen body. But God is perfect. He is not man, he cannot lie. Friend, let us throw ourselves upon God, his word, his promises, his faithfulness, because they are sure, utterly reliable. They are an anchor for the soul. We can throw ourselves, if our trust is in him, if we are now in Christ Jesus, we can throw ourselves without reserve into his mighty hands. Because our hope is in what Christ has done, what he's doing, and what he will do. By his life, by his death, by his resurrection, by his ascension, Jesus has achieved a momentous victory. And it's an eternal victory. With such an anchor as this, and such an anchor now, and a priest there, we must not fear. We need not fail. Hallelujah. Why hope? Because God has promised it. God has proved it. And God is empowering us by his Holy Spirit. Friends, we know we're living in uncertain times. What is happening in Syria, what is happening in the Middle East, we believe there will soon be a horrific war. We're living in uncertain times. We have corrupt governments all over the world, corrupt politicians, but we have one person, one God, who is incorruptible. And by his grace, we belong to him. We are different. And we one day will have that incorruptible body. We will be with him. This is our hope. There is so much uncertainty. Christian, be a hopeful, a biblical, hopeful person. Someone who has some answers to what is going on because you know your God, you know his word. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. The future belongs to those who belong to God. The future, praise his name, belongs to those who belong to God. This is the biblical hope. Amen.